Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name is Tom Bump and I'm your host. And hey, I want to ask you a question. I'm wondering how many of you have ever struggled with getting things done? I mean, I know it can be a real battle for a lot of leaders. Some of you are very task-driven and you're like, nope, I'm good. But hey, this podcast is going to be great for you too. But I know that there's a lot of leaders out there that are like me. You're very creative. You like going Mach 3 with your hair on fire. And task lists, to-do lists are a figment of somebody else's imagination, and it's a torture test for you. I get it. But one of the things that I know and I have learned over these many years is that that's not an excuse because you're a creative not to be organized and not know how to get things done. And honestly, it will help you lead up if you learn to be a better task manager and time manager. And so my guest is somebody who I know is passionate about this. And before I introduce my guest and my good friend, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, SurveyHQ, for their support of this episode. We'll be talking a little bit more about SurveyHQ later in the podcast, so stay tuned for that. My guest today is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for quite a few years. Actually, one of the first Kidology conferences I ever went to was at this guy's church. Now he's back on the East Coast, so to speak. Todd McKeever, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Good to be here, man.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. Some people may not be familiar with you, but I think a lot of people have heard you or read your iTodd blog in the past. But tell us a little bit about you and your ministry.
Like you said, my name's Todd McKeever, and I am here in Kentucky, just newly here, actually. We've only been here since November was when we moved here. We came from Des Moines, Iowa, which is my home, and now we're here in Kentucky, Independence, Kentucky, at Community Family Church. It's a church that runs about 12 to 1,400, not including kids. That's just on the adult side for the we run three services on Sunday. Anyway, we are here and having an incredible time. Blessed to be here. Glad that God has brought us here. So that's pretty much it right there. So,
cool. Well, man, I'm so glad that you're here because I know you love helping leaders with organization. Mm-hmm. And a phrase that you always use, because everybody always talks about time management, but I know you like to talk about task management. And you feel like there's a big difference here. And so some people might have already caught on that I've been saying that already. I've been saying task management, not time management. And they're like, hold it. Interesting. Well, you've got a difference in your mind of what task management is and time management is. So tell us a little bit about why that's a difference to you.
Well, it's a difference to me because it's the difference between what God does and what man does, in all honesty, you know? Yeah. For me, it is time management. I think this is where many of us begin to fail right out of the gate. And so we can't even run the race that's set before us because we've already failed before we started. It'd be like asking me to be Mr. Olympia by tomorrow, right? There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. There's outside of God pushing all those muscles into me somehow, whacking off my fat and all that good stuff. You know, there's no way I could do anything like that. I'm not even saying man-wise I could even accomplish that at my old age. You know? Time management, again, it's just what God can do. That's only a God thing. An hour, a second is going to happen after a second, a minute after a minute, an hour after an hour. You know, we don't have any involvement in that. It's something that God has set up and it just moves. And it is under God's direction there. Only God has ever changed that and held the sun still. Mm. But no man was involved with that. It didn't take any influence from man. It was only of God. And so that's time management. Then I think we need to get out of God's business. because we should be busy enough about just doing our business for God, right? So let's not try to do time management, but instead, let's focus on task management. We are and can be responsible for the task that we accomplish within the time that He gives us. So He's given us 24 hours. If He gives us 24 hours to live today, then within that 24 hours, we can accomplish tasks. We can schedule them. We can become better at them. We can, I mean, all of that stuff. And so that's on the task side. And that is something that we do have control over for the most part, is the task that we do.
That's really, really good. And I like the delineation between those two things. And so one of the things that I know some people are asking is, then why do I struggle with task management then? Why do I struggle with getting things done? Because I know for a lot of leaders, they're feeling very overwhelmed with all of the different tasks, all of the different demands that are placed on them during a week. You know, especially, I mean, it's hard enough being full-time, but then you've got people that are doing full-time kids ministry, full-time job outside the church. It can be a real challenge and a huge hurdle and very overwhelming and very discouraging. So, but I want to ask you the why question, because we try to always start with that question on this podcast. Why do leaders struggle with task management? What do you think?
Well, there could be incredible amount of reasons for this. Let me say that. I know that whenever, you know, I'm mentoring or coaching or talking with anybody, the amount of reasons that I hear back never seem to surprise me when I hear new ones. But I'll give you a couple that I see seem to be some common ones. One is that leaders oftentimes do not like to say no to things. They want to keep accomplishing more and taking on more mountains and moving forward and moving that ball more forward into accomplishing the task that they're going after. And instead of saying no, they just try to cram more in. And sometimes I feel that God is saying, listen, I've given you the time, right, to accomplish the task that I'm calling you to accomplish. It is you who wants to cram more in there. You know, His yoke is light, you know? And so we oftentimes want to pile that, you know, on that yoke. We want to put heavier buckets and heavier buckets and heavier buckets. And God is saying, listen, you have all the time in the world to accomplish what I'm calling you to do. You just need to listen. You just need to be obedient. But now I think one of the things that cause us to not want to keep those buckets light and to not want to say no is because oftentimes, whether we want to admit it or not, we wear the badge of busy. I'm doing the air quotes at this time.
Yeah.
We wear that badge of busy as a badge of honor. Like, that's why when you're passing people in the hallways or just throughout the day and you ask, hey, how you doing? How often do you hear them say, oh man, I'm so busy right now, boom, 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 boom. Or how often do we say that to people? You know, we're talking about, yes, oh, I understand you want me to do this, but man, I've got this, this, and this. And we can't wait to lay out our whole agenda as well, a busyness, right? Because we want people to know, man, we are busy. But if we would get away from understanding that busy is not a badge of honor. If you are over busy, then you're really not doing what you should be doing. And that's what I like to drill down on, is what are the things that only Tom should be doing, right? Not what can Tom do, but what should only Tom be doing? And when we figure that out, we can create that task list and accomplish goals every single day, right? As opposed to trying to have you do everything and heavy buckets on the yoke that you've got to wear. And then at the end of the day, you feel beaten up because you didn't get everything done that you felt called to do. Now I'm picking on you, Tom, and I'm not saying this is you.
Absolutely.
It could be anybody, but.
Hey, I'll be the fictional character today.
Even
though this has been a real struggle in my life. So I've been totally open with people about this over the years, that it took a lot of of discipline and a lot of personal coach, a lot of coaching. I mean, that's why I hired my own coach, because I needed help learning to be more effective in this area. So no, pick away, man.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm good with that because I think you're right. I think that is definitely an area why, you know, that we do. And I've told people this too, some of my coaching students, that one of the obstacles that they have with when it comes to recruiting volunteers is because we talk about how worn down and busy we are, and who wants to be like that and join that team?
That's right.
I mean, that's as bad as being desperate and begging, you know, oh, we're dying back here. We got to have help. Mm-hmm. Well, who wants to go join that crowd? And, you know, immediately the picture comes of one lonely person in the middle of a room while you're getting dogpiled by 50 kids. Nobody wants to join that team. So who wants to join a team with a leader that is swamped and worn out and beaten up, because they're like, oh, gee, that's exactly what they're going to do to me. So, you know, I've told people that's a big area.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So,
and then I even think, you know, we begin to overcomplicate our systems and processes that we set up.
Mm.
And we do that in many ways, but we'll probably get to it later, but the area that I fell on that I'm sure we'll talk about it later, so let me confess about myself later down the road, but is these overcomplicated, high, glossy, shiny, bright systems that everybody else does, or we hear about, and we could hear that, you know, this person does the get it done system. This person does the Michael Hyatt system. This person does, I mean, you know, you go all over the place.
Oh yeah.
The Stephen Covey, you know, and all. And so we try to put all of that in there, try to follow all of it, and we change it. And we never built up a regular routine for ourselves.
Yes.
What's really going to work for us.
Yes.
And so I think that's another reason, you know, that leaders struggle with task management. Mm. They've got so many voices speaking in their heads over task management. You know, one of the things that I have found to be very beneficial for me, and it was a struggle, let me tell you, because I read an average of 150 books a year that are just the ones that I pick, not to mention those that, you know, I do in different groups and stuff like that, right? So I love reading. But now something's been my personal coach is beginning to challenge me to think through, you have too many voices. And that's what I want to pass on to others, is the many voices that we hear over different systems and processes and stuff. And instead, we need to narrow it down and just have a handful. Mm. Literally. I mean, you could look at all the blogs that I follow. Now, I'm all about diversity and, you know, not just having people that follow my systems and stuff, you know, the way that I think. But instead of following like 400 blogs, I really do need to narrow that down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have just a few voices that speak into my life, I'll be more effective that way. So
that's good. Yeah, no, I'm tracking with you on that one too, that it's easy for people to, and we children's ministry leaders tend to go to whatever is shiny and new, or whoever the Kidman quote unquote celebrity is that endorses our new product, or, you know, whatever they publish, or, you know, hey, this is my favorite thing. And everybody's like, ooh, I got to have that too. And whether you even think that it's going to be profitable or not, it's just that, hey, if so-and-so uses it, I must need to use it too. So you're right. We do. And it struggles. It weighs us down. I will tell you, I mean, in 2020, one of the decisions I made was I wanted to make my systems for the way I'm living simpler. And so I've been making cuts on apps that I don't use anymore, that I don't need to use anymore, that really aren't pushing me forward. I've trimmed out some of my blogs. I'm an avid podcast listener. I've trimmed down some of my podcasts. I've picked a couple. That doesn't mean I can't rotate some in and out on occasion, but I keep what's on my playlist. There's about 5 podcasts right now, which is huge. Todd, I used to have like about 15 or 20 that were in my feed. I would never listen to all of them. But it would bog me down because I would spend a lot of time just scrolling through trying to figure out which do I want to listen to. Now I've got five voices right now. Now, maybe a couple months down the road, I will change that out. But I totally agree with you on this one, that I think sometimes we as leaders, we put ourselves into the mud. Instead of getting traction, I totally relate to that. I've got the Getting Things Done. I've got Michael Hyatt's book. I've got Stephen Covey. I've even got John Acuff's system.
I stopped naming all the different systems because I was going to be embarrassed of how many I actually knew of and had read. So,
that's awesome. Okay. So you said you were going to confess because the next question I'm going to ask is, what are some of those things that you've struggled with and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, definitely. The biggest one for me is that shiny object syndrome. You know, the latest and the greatest. I'm an early adopter, which is a sickness of mine I have found, and a very expensive sickness at times, to tell you the truth. Yeah, you know.
My wife says that too.
Yeah, it's people like me that others should really think, because I spend the money to find out something's not going to work so that others don't have to, you know? That is definitely my sickness right there, is the early adopting, the shiny object. I probably had 5 or 6 different task management systems going on at the exact same time. I was walking around like the biggest schizophrenic person you could ever find in your life. I mean, I was talking. I mean, it was ugly. It was completely ugly. Yeah. And until I came to the place and just said, why is it that I feel that I'm falling further behind?
Yeah.
You know, I'm following all of these great ideas, but I'm just falling further and further behind. Mm-hmm. And that's when it finally came to me. I had some people point out, dude, you are doing too many things. And some of those didn't even, they weren't even applicable for me. Like, I don't do well with paper. I'm not smart enough to keep up with paper. I think that's my problem, you know? So I love electronic everything. Mm-hmm. It's just the way my brain works. It's natural for me to go that way. So when I had the paper systems involved, you know, nothing against. And I think that's, and again, we can talk about, you know, some ideas. But again, this is what I did to kind of turn that around, is just I had to realize who I was, who God made me to be.
That's good.
He didn't make me a paper person. And there's nothing wrong with paper. It's just not me. And so for me, just like audiobooks, I get frustrated with audiobooks. I like, I even have a system. If I will buy a book, I'll buy an ebook first because it's electronic. But then if I really enjoy it, I buy the paperback book version because I like to display it. Okay. That when I die, I want to pass off that library to my daughter who's training to be a children's pastor. Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. But audiobooks frustrate me. I can't take notes. I don't know a good system. Yep. And I'm an aggressive reader, but ebooks I can highlight. And then I use, iClip, that it, for all of my Amazon books, all the highlights, iClip takes it and puts it in Evernote for me. And it just saves it there. So I can pull up any note just by a word search, as opposed to when I would read paper books, I used to have to write down, John Maxwell taught me to write down in the cover of the book, the page number and the big idea of what it was, right? And then I'd hand off to my secretary, and then she would have to go in to each book, into the cover, find the page, go to where that's at, and then type out that sentence or paragraph or whatever it was, and then file that. But now, electronically, iClip does it all for me. I don't need a secretary to do that. And that's why electronic for me, just those are the hacks that I'm always looking for, is to help become better. So then my task management becomes a lot better, more consistent with what I do. The shiny syndrome, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go so long on that, but the shiny syndrome is definitely the thing that I struggled with, that I had to turn around by doing exactly that.
Oh man, Yeah, that is so good. And I appreciate you giving us some tips. And yeah, I want to get into some more of the steps to improvement and some hacks. We'll try to make some time for that here so that we can do that. I want to step out for just a minute here, and we're going to pause, and I want to talk about ServeHQ for just a second. Again, I thank them for being our sponsor for this edition of the KMC podcast. They have products called Trained Up and Huddle Up, and you can get this as a bundle. And what's cool is that ServeHQ makes simple tools for leaders to equip volunteers, onboard new members, develop leaders, send announcements, chat with everybody on your team safely and with accountability in one unified platform. And so, listen, guys, if you haven't checked out ServeHQ, then I want to encourage you to take a moment, pause the podcast for just a second. Don't get lost here. Come back to us. But check out servehq.church. And you can find out more about the bundle system of Trained Up and Huddled Up and what it has. There's all sorts of examples there. There's tons of resources, videos, stuff that you can create as well and put on your own platform to personalize it. You will look fantastic to your team. I highly, highly recommend you go check it out. But thank you to ServeHQ for financially supporting our podcast to help us keep this on and going forward, because we want to make it better. Because again, our goal is to lead more, to reach more. And so I appreciate Scott over at ServeHQ and for all he's done for that. So, because that's part of what's going to help us with our task and time management, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. If we've got systems like this that can make it easier for us and leverage and lean into somebody else's strength that has that gift, it's a great product. And so I want you to check that out. As we do that. So thank you again, ServeHQ, for your time and support for this ministry. Todd, in fact, we were talking off air, you've used ServeHQ and their products, right?
I have. Actually, I was excited to hear that ServeHQ is sponsoring this podcast, because I believe a lot in ServeHQ. They do an incredible job. They are one of those hacks that I would recommend for anybody that it can set you up for your volunteer training. You can be in multiple places and send out multiple emails. You get to keep track of where people are at, and what the questions that they've answered. You get to see the results of those questions. You get to see how far along in their training they. I mean, I want to be cautious because I don't want to do a whole new commercial for you, and I do apologize. But I think ServeHQ is one of those systems that would be incredible for anybody to throw into the process of their training their leaders and developing their teams. A matter of fact, I know a coaching, I can't let it out because I don't know if he wants to let it out. I'll tell you off air though, but there is a coaching network that I know that's using ServeHQ, and they're finding great success with that as well. So you found a great sponsor there, my friend.
Hey, that's great. I'm sure they'll appreciate your endorsement of that too. So again, because I mean, that's what we're talking about, is this idea of how can we better handle our tasks. And if you have something, a good system in place that's not overwhelming, that fits into your natural rhythm, like you were talking about, then this is something that you ought to check out and work for you and make it work for you so that you can do what only you do best, right?
That's right.
That's what we were talking about. That's so. Right. Are there any other causes for task management struggle that you want to hit on before we jump into some other stuff? I want to make sure we've covered a couple of things. Do you feel like, I mean, I feel like we've hit a couple, but is there any other tasks that jump out at you or causes of struggle?
I mean, like I said, there are so many, and everybody seems to struggle from their own angle of what's really going on there. I think a lot of people use the wrong mindset, and they will say that they have no control over their task. They work for somebody 9 to 5. They might not be in full-time ministry where they get the privilege of, I get to set my own schedule, you know, for the most part. I will even group, I call them chunking, but I will, it's because I'm a fat man. That's what it is, I think.
Oh, come on now.
But I will even chunk my days together, and I'll follow a certain theme for each day. Like, meetings and admin. That is a Monday for me, right? So mm-hmm. when I come in every Monday, I know what I'm doing. I set it up the night before, but I know that that's the, so I try to keep it going in the same vein so that I don't try to do a creative thing and a strategic meeting in the same day, because that's a stop and start kind of situation for me. I got to totally change the vibe from one thing to go into the other, you know?
Yeah.
And I would say, and so anyway, so I think that would be it right there, is a lot of people say, man, I don't have any control. What do I do then? I would challenge them to think about how much control they really do have. Mm. I think that it's an easy reason to say, I don't have control, so I can't do this. But even working 9 to 5, I mean, you know, I was working as an assistant manager at a store, and my agenda was set by that store at one time. But I found that I could go into that store and I would know who's going to be working in that store, and I was going to invest in these individuals in this way. So each day, depending on what those individuals needed, I knew these people need a little up, you know, a little cheering up. So I would strategically set how I'm going to cheer them up in that day. These people needed a little training on customer service. And so I was going to find ways. And I didn't have to make it official. I didn't have to say, okay, now we're going to move into training you guys to, I just used it conversationally. But the store began, we became the number one store in the area. Does that make sense? I'm just saying, if there is a will, there is a way. And God knows, remember, he is the one that's over our time, and he's given us our task. He's cleared the way for our task. We just need to ask him, because God wants those people more than we want those people. So,
Good stuff. Okay. So we've talked about some of the challenges and why people struggle. We've talked about how you've struggled. We've talked about some of the different causes. Let's get into some of the real practical stuff now, and let's see if we can't help some folks that maybe are really struggling and want to take some steps towards improvement in this area. So what would you say and do to help a leader start taking some steps to better task management?
I see task management like budgeting your finances. So whenever you budget your finances, those that fail at budgeting, I have found, for the most part, all of a sudden decide, you know what, I'm going to budget. I'm going to make good use of my money. So they will sit down and they will create how they're going to spend their money. And all of a sudden they whacked out all the times that they go to Starbucks, okay? Or wherever your coffee place is, I'm sorry. I am a Starbucks guy, that's personally. But anyway, they'll whack out all the times that they've been going to coffee. And they'll whack out the entertainment times that they will take in a video and Netflix or whatever, you know. They start whacking these things out thinking that's going to save me X amount of dollars, you know. And so then they move it into their mortgage, and they move it into car pay, and they move it into all these things. And it looks good on paper. But outside of it, it looks like they will not have any fun in their life. But they're just going to spend all their time working and paying bills. That's it. And so they go on with that. And that lasts about a week. Maybe for the really true and tried ones that are grinding their teeth through the whole process, they might make it a month. But at the end of their month, they look like they have aged 50 years. And their spouse is more upset with them. And their division between them and their kids, it looks like – you know, when Moses parted the Red Sea kind of concept, right? So it's just bad.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it's like budgeting. Instead of sitting down with your calendar and saying, okay, this is how I'm going to do it, you start recording, this is how I do it now. Do a time study. Mm-hmm. Watch yourself. Do it for couple weeks so that the anomalies kind of even themselves out. You kind of really see. And that's how I came up with how I chunk my days together. Cause I just noticed that I really find on Monday, for example, I work best doing this, and on Tuesday and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So help somebody if they're going, okay, time study, because that can freak some people out. I know it did when my coach first told me that he wanted me to do this. So give them just a simple instruction. Make it simple so that somebody goes, yeah, okay. I mean, basically what I'm saying is let's take away all the excuses.
Yes.
Because I want to help people today. And so just give them a quick 1, 2, 3 of how to do a time study. Cause I think this is a great step to get you to where, like I say, yeah, time blocking, time chunking. I like that time chunking. I'm going to do that. I love it. Cause that's the step just before they can do that. Cause then I think they will find a rhythm for themselves. Mm-hmm. So give them a quick rundown of how to do a time study. That's going to be really good.
Yeah. Basically, it is, again, you figure out what kind of person you are. You're a paper electronic person. For me, I'm an electronic person. So if you're electronic, I would encourage you just to kind of, there's apps you can use. I use Rescue Time as one of mine, to tell you the truth. So anytime I'm online, whether it's on my phone, or because they have it for the Chrome on your phone as well, or if you're on your computer and they work together, it tracks every site I go to, everything I do on my computer and on my phone. So I can just incorporate that into this time study. But otherwise, you could be as simple as, you know, just keep jotting it down after you do everything. Or if you're the person that does better, every 3 or 4 hours, you sit down and you say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes and just writing what I've done over these last 3 or 4 hours. It's whatever you're with. If you're a paper person, carry around your little notepad. And as you're walking to your next appointment, or when you arrive to your next one, say meeting, you know, and then when you're done, then you're lunch, and, you know, whatever it happens for you. But figure out who you are, how God's made you, and use the time study going that direction. Use the tools that you already will feel comfortable using.
That's good.
And so that's how I would start, is just doing that, and then go back in and then chunk your days.
Okay. So it's right. Keep track of all your time and then look for your natural rhythms and kind of maybe start blocking things together, putting things together instead of working on the same project 3 days in a row. Maybe that's where, I'm doing this one thing the same. I'm doing it.
Yes.
For 3 weeks in a row here, I've been watching my time and I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing it on 3 different days. Well, okay. Maybe that, you need to pull it onto one day then. So, Okay. I'm tracking with you. I am. This is good.
Yeah.
Is
even good. When people, you were the exception because you're a close friend, but even when people try to make appointments with me, now I'm going to let my secret out, and people that are going to hear this are going to now know what I'm doing. So thank you very much, Tom. Uh-oh. But anyway, see how I blamed you. But I do, for the most part, I do Tuesdays and Thursdays are really the days that I enjoy making outside appointments, right? Mm-hmm. So when someone asks me, hey, can I make an appointment with you? I will always push Tuesdays and Thursday dates to them.
Yeah.
They don't need to know that's what I'm doing, but that they do now, but that's what I will do. And I find if they want to meet with me, they will accommodate that.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Well, I think that's guarding our time and being good stewards. I would look at it as a matter of stewardship. It's not something out of ego or arrogance or whatever. I think that's a good stewardship model.
Yes.
To say, hey, I know this is where I can do this. And so let's put that together that way. So I think that's really, really good. I like that. So listen, if you're struggling with task management, start with that time study. And like Todd said, do a week or two, maybe three, if you can handle it. For some of you, that's going to be pushing hard, but it will pay off big dividends. If you want to make a change, you got to start somewhere. Cause if you keep doing what you've always done, you get what you always got, right? So I like that. So I think start with that time study, write it down or use the app, whatever. Again, if you're paper or electronic, find your system and then find your rhythm and then start using your time, budgeting your time, blocking it out, chunking it out. And I got to believe, I will say, I'll testify, I've done this and it was a game changer. My senior leader noticed that I went from what he perceived as a very unorganized leader to somebody who was actually getting stuff done, because he saw the way I was blocking my time. He actually had access to my calendar because we worked in a system where if you, you know, to see meetings and stuff, you actually saw how people you, and so he saw me blocking my time and was quite impressed with that change. Mm-hmm. So I do say, if you've got a leader that's been critical of you, for how you've not done task management very well and time management very well, this will be a game changer for his or her perception of you, as a leader. So that's what Todd has just given you is worth its weight in gold and maybe a job saver for some people. Mm. Just saying. Okay. So any other tips? I mean, we got time. You could do one or two more if you want.
Then when you get your task, you look at your week, you see how you have spent the time, right? Mm-hmm. With the tasks that you've been given. You see how that is. You chunk them together so that each day of the, you find the roles that you are, need to fulfill. Like, I'm a dad, I'm a child of God, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a children's pastor, you know, I'm a leader, coach, you know, kind of thing. So you go through the different roles and you've only got 7 days of the week. So really you don't want, if there's some roles that you can combine that you fulfill, that's great, you know. But then you make sure that on the personal side, because all we've been talking about is on the work side,
right?
But there's a personal side that needs to happen during the week as well. So on the personal side, those are all personal, child of God. Does that make sense? Husband, mm-hmm. dad, you make sure that you are assigning those days as well, so that you're chunking that in there. So like every Friday is my wife. I devote to my wife. So it's, what am I going to do to invest in my wife to help her and I to become stronger? What can I do to help her to be better? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Saturday is a family time, you know? And so what does that look like for the family? Child of God, obviously it's every day, but what strategic day can I also put on there that I can chunk some time during that day of saying, not including my devotional and all that stuff, but what else can I do to become a stronger child of God? Yes. And so anyway, so I would recommend kind of getting that going as well. So now you've got your work and your, and then each day I do like what Michael Hyatt does with this. He has his three big dailies. Mm-hmm. And it literally is, one, you need to know what is your mission and vision personally and work-wise, because that's your target. That's what you're going for. And so as you're doing things, you want to keep moving the needle towards accomplishing that, furthering that. You know, I have a mission statement of what I want my wife to say. All those people that know me personally, what I want them to say when I'm dead. So I'm striving for that. I'm not trying to be gruesome here, but I'm just saying, so I'm trying every day to move that needle so they can say this at the end. What do I want my pastor to say? What do I want the children that are in the children's ministry to say? And so I have these that I want to move the needle that direction. And so I love Michael Hyatt's big three. Every day I'm asking myself, what are the three big things? If nothing else happens today, if everything was to fall apart today, these three things I would accomplish that would move it further down the road. And then I make sure those things are scheduled in that chunk of that day, make sure that they're scheduled in there. And man, I take those on. So
that's so good. I like it. I like it a lot. And I know that's going to help some leaders out there to think through. All right, because I know you love tools. So what are some tools that you found that help you keep focus?
Well, one thing I've already talked about, and that's just rescue time. I really do find that a very profitable tool for me. And so anyway, so that would be one. Mm-hmm. As basic as just iCal. I'm a big Mac guy. I'm a Mac evangelist. And so I support everything Mac, except for, anyway, I won't go into that because, so, but anyway, so, iCal, I love. I think even setting, you know, I find in my profession of children's ministry, being a children's pastor, there's oftentimes I get some of the same emails that come into me over the same topics. And so I'm replying to them basically the same way, you know? So what I've done is I've set up templates in my signature section on my computer. So if someone writes in and they're telling me about, you know, man, I'm trying to think of one here offhand. Isn't that always funny how you always get stumped when you're trying to think right off the cuff there? But, a new family came in. Did I know about this new family? Well, I've got an email that says new family in my template, in my signature. It says new family. I'll click on that, and all I need to do is in that template is go and fill in the words, the different names maybe or something, and then zip it off. It has saved me so much time, you know?
Good.
So I love that. I love finding ministries, to tell you the truth, that help me be productive this way. So like I love Lead Volunteers by Joshua Denhart. That's a system he's got set up that I think is fantastic. You know, Carl Bastian, you know, with Kidology. I mean, there's so many things there. And I'm going to get myself in trouble. I shouldn't have started naming names. That's my problem. Because there's going to be somebody that I'm going to leave out. And so anyway, it's just finding things like that that answer more things. You know, the three big curriculums that I personally have had involvement with is the Grow or Orange or D6. I'll lump all those together. But they have all the way from how to minister to kids, to parents, to leaders. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's one system that I can fold into that push the needle down the road of where I feel that the children's ministry here needs to go. So it's just finding those. And I don't, there's a bazillion others out there. I just don't want to get myself in any more trouble.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. But it's a good point and well taken that, you know, that even using your curriculum as a strategy, as a system, and using the tools that are there, you know, it's fascinating to me as I've talked with other leaders, how they'll take curriculum and then they're rewriting it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is the biggest time waster that I could imagine. You know, if you don't like their curriculum, don't use it. If you have to rewrite it. Now, I'm not saying tweak. Tweaking and rewriting are two different things. Tweaking is making it personal, making it fit your culture and context. Everybody has to do that because there's no perfect curriculum unless you're writing it for your own culture, your own theology, your own doctrine, your own whatever. I get that, right? But I've heard leaders talking about how they buy this curriculum and then they're rewriting the lessons. And I'm like, no. If you're doing that, find a different curriculum because that's not working for you and you're not being good stewards of your finances or your time, right? I mean, so I love the way you said there. And Lead Volunteers is fantastic. Kidology. Of course, I've always supported everything Carl does. He's a good buddy and I love
And all. Serve HQ is another one, just as we've already made mention of, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'll leave you with just a couple more. I'll just go through them real fast if you don't mind. But Hootsuite is another one that helps me schedule. So I have it in my chunk in the week. I schedule all of my social media stuff on one day. Mm-hmm. I have it all scheduled. So throughout the week, it's going out. But it's not me live going in there and doing that. I don't need to take the time to do that. Buffer is another one that I use. I love Buffer. Grammarly is another one that I use. And it just is constantly reminding me of how ignorant I am as I'm typing things, right? So it's spell checking and structure sentencing and passive words and all this stuff. And so it's just letting me know, hey, you got something over here. You got something over here. And then it tells me even what to change it to. Evernote. I'm a big Evernote junkie. I know Evernote is changing some and some are going to OneNote, but for me, again, it's just finding what works for me.
Yep.
And then Trello for project management for me works at the best. I run all of my volunteers here completely off of Trello. So
excellent. Yeah. Hey, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. All right. Well, we've got time. Hit us with a couple of your favorite books or resources that you love for task management. And I know this is hard because, like I said, we've already been talking about different systems that are out there. But if you had to narrow down to your top one or two, what would it be?
Well, I think Free to Focus, I think Michael came out with a very good book and is a great voice, especially if you're limiting down the voices that are in your head that are influencing you. This is definitely one that for me, I would recommend it. I might have to just stop with that one.
Hey, it's a good one. I'm not going to argue with you. I got that one too. It is good. It is good. Yeah. I will say, I'll throw this out there because I like doing this. I actually like John Acuff's book called Finish.
Yeah.
And I felt like he takes a little bit of a, well, Michael's more analytical, mm-hmm. and John is definitely more creative.
Yes.
And so they both offer systems. So for those of you that you do feel like you're a little more task list driven, I'd say at least, and maybe you agree or disagree, I don't know, push back on this if you want, that's fine.
Hey, it's your show. I'm agreeing, buddy.
I feel like I hit the mute button on you right now. But go ahead, try to disagree. I'll mute you. No, I won't. I will not. But don't you, I mean, I don't know if I've read Finish or not, but
yes.
To me, Michael's is definitely more, if you're analytical, if your natural rhythm is that you do like lists and you do kind of follow that, maybe not great, but you're more comfortable there, where task lists kind of scare you sometimes and systems make you feel tight. I would say that's where Acuff comes in and says, yeah. Okay, here's an alternative. Here's a way that a creative can get things done, can actually finish what they start, because that's a problem with task management. Or that's what I think task management is all about, is getting things done. It's bringing it to the finish line. So I would say if that would be two systems, I'll throw Finish in there, because I think that's been one. I know that's helped me a lot.
I was going to say, that's you and I right there. I am the Michael Hyatt, you're the John Acuff. I mean, yes. That's a great example.
Yep. It is. And that's, I think, what you've been trying to tell everybody today too, is again, find your system, find your yes. rhythm, but ultimately let's be good stewards of our tasks and our time. Yes. Right. I mean, that's all you're trying to get across. And I know that God has blessed you because you are a get things done person, and every ministry I have followed you in, I've watched great success. God's given you great favor to see lots of harvest come in of children coming to know Christ. And ultimately that's why we do what we do. And so I appreciate you, Todd, because you have sharpened me so much, and I'm so glad you're going to be getting back more into the blogging game, which
yes,
that's leads us to the end here. If somebody wants to follow or get to know more about what you do or learning a little bit more what you do, is it actually going to be iTodd again, or are you rebranding?
It is, but it's just that the web address is just my name, Todd McKeever.
Okay.
So that's TODDMCKEEVER.com. But yeah, it is the iTodd, because again, that whole Mac side of me, it was humor in my own head. No one else would probably understand it, but every time I look at it, I chuckle.
I thought it was cool. But yeah, I would highly recommend you guys go to his website and subscribe to his blog, because he gives you so many good tips and he reads books for you. You can save time. You can get the Todd notes. I'm going to confess, I've done that a couple of times, Todd. Seriously, there's been books that I wanted and I didn't have the budget. And I'm like, I know Todd's going to read this one, so I'm just going to wait for him to read it and give me a review.
there's also another Church Fuel, just to let you know. That's another great ministry out there that is a great thing for your task management. And they have started a book review as well. So I'm just putting it out there, and it's all part of your membership. So they haven't increased the price on you for that. They are just beginning to do it. So they've got three books in there already that are very good. And I love his format of how he puts the books together. I'm not trying to cut, you know, my blog is free and everything, but Church Fuel is just another one that is now doing books and a good knock it out of the ballpark format.
I have to check them out. I have not been on their site. So that's one I will learn and go check out. Well, cool. Well, hey, Todd, thank you so much. Is there any other ways that people can get a hold of you? Or blogs are probably the best way to touch base with you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at T McKeever. I'm on LinkedIn, just under my name, Todd McKeever. I'm on Instagram. I mean, if there's a social media thing out there, I'm on there. It's usually just my name, though.
Okay. Good. All right. Excellent. Hey, man, thanks for making time for this cast. Oh, I've enjoyed talking with you, man. I always do. Yes. And thanks again for helping our community. And again, you can always interact with them in the Facebook group as well. If you've got questions, feel free you can post some questions there for Todd. Tag him. He'll answer them. He's a nice guy like that. So, hey, thanks again for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. I appreciate your support, your encouragement. If there's anything that we can do to help you, to encourage you, to equip you, please reach out and let us know, because that's what I'm here for. That's what KMC Coaching is here for, and that's what the community is here for. So support each other, and let's keep iron sharpening iron so that we can build and reach more. To lead more, to reach more. That's the way I keep saying it. I just want to keep leading more so I can reach more for the glory of God. So thanks for listening. Join me again for another edition of the KMC real soon.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.